Life with Jesus is like, how would you describe it? An adventure, a journey, an epic quest, a roller coaster, like coming home, like finding my feet, like walking through a forest. Those are some of my personal descriptions. Jesus gives us words to describe this life with him. He often said, the kingdom of God is like, and then he would give us wonderful, rich images through parables. So before we get to Jesus' pictures and metaphors, let's just unravel that word kingdom. It's one of those words we use all the time on our journey of faith, but we may not often stop with what it really is, what it is referring to. So here's some of what we know about this life with God that Jesus calls kingdom. A kingdom is a society of people. There's a structure or order. One of the persons, the king, is someone that the others have an allegiance to. They choose to love him. We give our hearts to him who governs us. We love, honor, serve, and respect the king. The king gives care, provision, and protection to his subjects. The kingdom of God is like this. There is love, service, and respect for the king, and there is care, provision, and protection for the people. So that gives us a bit of a definition, and it gives us a description of the role players. But what's important to know is that the kingdom of God has become available now. In other words, the rulership of God is here. It is not some upcoming euphoria that we are anxiously waiting on. It has happened. Here's how we know it happened. The kingdom of God came with Jesus. The real kingdom power isn't lying dormant somewhere in the future. The power of the kingdom lies in the present, in what is happening in people's lives. Jesus working with the power of God. So the kingdom says something about our perspective of the world, of ourselves, and of others. Through Jesus' increasing rulership in each of our lives, his love and power can flow into us more freely. While the term God's people was initially in reference to the Jews, there is now no protocol to enter into this kingdom and become part of his subjects. If you have an allegiance to Jesus, you're welcome in the kingdom. As simple as that. When Jesus thus speaks about the kingdom of God, we can interchange that with what life with God is like. And today we say that life with Jesus is like being a passionate worker. But let me first tell you a story that reminds me of this. Imagine a man, loaded, and he goes off on a business trip. He calls three of his staff and tells them, I've sold one of my businesses and I'm not yet sure what I want to do with the profits. So look after it while I'm away. He allocates one account to each of them. The first guy gets a ping on his phone. 500 grand transferred and cleared. The second guy quickly taps on the notification on his phone and reads the balance of 200 grand. And the third logs in and sees that he's received 100 grand. Then the boss says, I'm off. And he leaves them staring at each other in shock. First guy goes off to read up on investment magazines. He picks the brains of financial advisors and eventually comes up with a detailed investment portfolio. After a while, he's doubled the money. He's pretty impressed, and he's actually quite enjoying himself. The second guy goes off and puts together a strategy. Quickly, he realizes he'll have to do a couple of short courses first, and so he does. He calls up his financially inclined friends, and after some studying, watching the markets, and heeding good advice, he buys some stock and starts trading. He also doubles his money. The third guy, however, buckles. What if the market crashes? What if there's a run on the banks? What if I buy gold and they discover an enormous gold mine lying just below every garden in the city and the gold price plummets? What if there's unforeseen circumstances or another state of disaster and the business I start fails? So he withdraws the money. He buys a safe, puts the money inside, and he buries it in his garden. Ages later, the boss comes back and gets the three together in the boardroom. The third one smiles from ear to ear and announces, "You gave me 500 grand and I've done a bit of wheeling and dealing, and you might want to check your phone." Bing! The notification pops up on the boss's phone. The boss looks and his face floods with approval. "Well done. You've doubled what I gave you. I'm going to give you some more projects to manage for me. You and me, we've got good times lined up." The second guy, looking pleased with himself, hands the boss a folder detailing all his financial ventures and the return of investment he had received. "Nice," exclaimed the boss. "I've got some ideas I want to bounce with you too. We're going places, you and I." The boss turns to the third guy. He mumbles, "You gave me 100 grand and I just didn't want to lose it. I was so scared of risking it. I've heard the rumors of you being ruthless in business, so I didn't want to get on your bad side. So it's all safe, not even a 10 rand note out of place." The boss is not impressed. "That wasn't the point at all. Why would I give you cash to bury in a safe somewhere? You were supposed to do something with it. Couldn't you at least have put it in an interest-bearing account? What's the inflation rate? How much have I lost? Just get me the cash and let me give it to someone who wants to work with it." And with that, he left the room. Did you notice? This is a modern take on the parable Jesus tells in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. It's about the master entrusting a portion of what he owns to the servants. And we'll be referring to it throughout, and I invite you to go and read it at home in your own time for further reflection. The parable invites us to see ourselves in this life with Jesus in a certain way. It invites us to recognize that we are role players in his kingdom. The first realization that I find quite moving in journeying with this scripture is that we are given permission. In Jesus giving us talents and resources and opportunities, gifts, spaces, intellect, imagination, all of who we are and where we are, he is giving us permission to do as he has done in the way that he has created us to do this. This parable speaks of being given resources and then deciding what to do with it. We have been given agency. The master gave to each servant according to their ability. The master thus knows each servant and responsibly and lovingly gives to each one accordingly. It's risky to entrust them with this wealth. But he knows what he's doing and he gives them permission and freedom to work with it. What is God giving you permission to work with, trusting you with? He is often whispering to us, "Go ahead. You've got this. I gave you this. I know you can do it." And perhaps he's giving us permission to risk a little too. Risk your comfort, risk your wealth, risk your image, risk your security, risk your vulnerability, risk your energy, risk your time, risk being rejected or misunderstood, and even risk getting it wrong, because you're taking this risk with him. I so identify with the servant who buried his bag of gold. He just wants to keep it safe. He just wants to not get into trouble and not make a mistake. Maybe he thought this was the responsible thing to do. I imagine him stressfully and anxiously waiting for the master to return and then handing back the gold with a great sigh of relief. But that's not what the master wanted. That wasn't the purpose of his actions. Life with Jesus is safe in his arms, but it is not playing it safe because we're too afraid to venture forward. He gives us permission to do something, to work at something with what he's given. He bears the actual risk in involving us in kingdom work. He weighed the risk against his love and chose to go ahead and involve us. Can we then maybe risk that it will be worthwhile, even when it's difficult? Even when it takes us to places beyond familiarity and beyond comfort? So when we realize that we've been given permission to work with a piece of God's kingdom, we can realize we get to be and have a reason to be passionate about this life with Jesus. Everything and everyone Jesus loves and governs, everything he owns, everything he does, every success and victory, every venture and opportunity, we get to be excited about as if it were all our own. Because what belongs to the master is entrusted to the servant. So we are not simply pawns being moved around here and there. We are not simply passively sitting around waiting for the outcome of another day. We are given something of his to work with. And this something, if we let it, will move our hearts, stir in us an energy, and will increase in us the drive and ability to work hard with him. And as we work passionately with Jesus and feel this energy inside of us, we get to channel it in a way that helps us follow in the footsteps of Jesus more closely. An integrated, healthy life is thus one that is energized and integrated. Or you could say on fire and glued together. And I find this helpful and inspiring because it emphasizes that passion which ignites as we look into the master's eyes and realize that he has actually entrusted us with a piece of his kingdom. We cannot let that passion die for the sake of order and carrying all the tensions of life. Yes, we cannot let it run wild because that may very well consume everything that is good. But without it, without that passion, everything becomes laborious and complacency and boredom threatens to displace anticipation and ambition in how we pursue and increase what belongs to him but lies within us. So fan the flame. Be passionate about the five or the two or the one bag that he gives you. Put it to work. What bag did you receive from the master? And how can you passionately work with it for his sake? I have a husband, three children, a job, a ministry, and my life. And I ask myself, with what energy do I arrive at each of these pieces of the kingdom entrusted to me? How is my heart beating for my children, my husband? How am I passionate in my job, my ministry, and my life? What about a single accountant in his 50s? He has been given a certain skill to be able to do a particular job. He's thus a colleague, and perhaps he's also the son of aging parents. Maybe he's an uncle to a couple of nieces and nephews. Maybe he has the gift of utilizing resources well or analyzing situations for future planning. He lives alone, but among a community. He's an introvert, yet listens to each person who ends up in his office or at the table next to him in a coffee shop. Does he tackle each day as a mundane task to be completed? Or does he feel and fan the flame, passionately working with a piece of the kingdom entrusted to him? As we journey with Jesus and our perspective changes to kingdom perspective, we can begin to recognize that when Jesus entrusts a piece of his kingdom wealth to us, he's hoping that we'll be happy about it, excited about it, and that it will spark something in us. Because if we take a long, hard look at the life we've been given, then we'll see that working hard with Jesus in his kingdom gives us purpose. Working hard in this life with Jesus is more for us than for him. He brought the world into being with a word. He calmed the storm by raising a hand. He prepared dinner for thousands by simply handing it out. He is able to do everything so efficiently, but chooses to call us because he is a relational God who wants to work with us. He enjoys working with us. Maybe it's a little bit like my mom, who used to call me as she sat at her sewing machine making clothes. She gave me material, taught me how to cut and carefully place the patterns, and then how to stitch the seams together meticulously. She could do it much faster and way more professionally, but she wanted to work with me. What happens to us as we work with him? All of a sudden, two of the servants discover they have a way of putting to work what they have been given and a way of increasing it for their master. In other words, they discover they have a specific way of doing something good and special, and that makes their master proud. The servants have a mission now. They are stewards of something. They feel this need to be busy with this something because it's important. Their time can be used constructively to contribute to something bigger than themselves. The servants find purpose as they discover what they have to offer. And when the master returns to see what has been done, he invites the servants to share in his happiness. He even increases their responsibility and gives them more to work with. The third servant never takes ownership, never sees what has been given as his to work with. He says, here's what belongs to you. And he doesn't step into what the master believed he could do and become. The invitation for us is to take every opportunity to work in his kingdom with what we've been given, to honor him, and thus live a life of purpose and meaning. And how this plays out shifts in every season of life. Working in his kingdom at 19 years old, 30-something, as parents or having retired, looks different. But we can live purposefully in each of these seasons. There is a way of life to discover. And it's a way of possibilities, freedom, purpose, and the gleaming smile of the master who loves you unconditionally. Friedrich Buchner said that the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. This is what life with Jesus is like. Hard work, but rewarding, fulfilling. And guess what? You're a specialist in your field because no one else has been put together exactly like you or given the same set of elements that make up your life. You've been chosen for your life. You're not an odd job, one-size-fits-all stand-in worker. You've been headhunted for a task. And God has invested in you, empowered you. He gives you continuous on-the-job training. So let me ask you, have you received the kingdom of God in your life? Have you found a way to passionately work with what Jesus has given and entrusted you with? Are you living a life of purpose because you were made for this life with him? If we can support you on this journey as you discover and rediscover your unique role in his kingdom, please contact us and we can arrange a conversation. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we listen to you tell stories of what life with you is like, we ask that you will touch our hearts, that you will draw us in, and that you will help us to surrender this life. Lord, we want to live with you. We want to work with you. Thank you for involving us in your kingdom, for making us role players. Thank you for my life, Lord, for each of our lives. May we honor you in everything that we do. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The love of God, our Father, the friendship and the grace of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us. Amen.